What's the worst thing about being rich? Off you go.
That was a great line by Spike Milligan, wasn't it? It was, God, all I ask is for you to give me a chance to prove that money can't make me happy. Very good. Come back to that in a bit. And today, we've got this one, which I'm quite excited about. This is the Feast of First Fruits. Now, I wasn't quite sure what to bring for the Feast of First Fruits. I was wondering about an apple, but then I wasn't sure how many apples there are in Israel. Are there apples? No, there are. I should have done that. But I didn't. So I bought one of these. And this is kind of the thing that they would wave as they did the Festival of First Fruits. Something similar to this, though not stolen from whoever did the fantastic flower arrangements this morning. Thank you for that. I mean, they look beautiful, and I think I've improved it by stealing this. But anyway, thanks for this. Why do they do this? Well, it's because for 40 years, the Israelites were in the desert, which is a rubbish place to live. And they're living in this desert. Some of us feel like we're living in a desert sometimes. It's dry. We feel thirsty. We feel that everything is hard. And they do that for 40 years, living in this hard place. And everything's hard and everything's a struggle. Do we ever feel like that some weeks? Everything's tough. They lived there for 40 years. 40 years. And the good thing about living in the desert was that every day they would wake up and God would have provided food for them. Which is good, isn't it? They'd wake up from their tents and they'd step out of their tents and God would have given them manna from heaven that they could eat for the day. Wonderful. So they're relying on God every single day for the food. And every morning they wake up and there's food on the floor and they're like, God, this is wonderful. Thank you so much for the food. We can eat the bread because we live in a desert and it's rubbish. The next day they open there's food. Thank you, God, for the food. You've given me enough for today. But what's the problem with being rich? Well, it's the same problem the Israelites had when they stopped living in a desert. Because the good thing about living in a desert is you have to rely on God every morning. Open the door. Thank you, there's enough food for me today. God, thank you, there's enough food. I can get through today because of what you've provided. But what's the problem when you're rich? It's the problem the Israelites had when they left the desert. They came into the new land and it is flowing with milk and honey. And suddenly they can grow stuff. Wonderful. They don't have to wait for God to give them bread every day. They can just grow their own food. Fantastic. But what's the problem with that?
Stop being grateful.
Stop being grateful, don't you? Stop being grateful. I don't know how much this relates to you, but when I was a student, I didn't have any money. Very little. And I remember the days when my parents would come up to visit me in my cold and mouldy student digs, and I was so hungry and I was cold and I was really quite skinny, and they would take me to Tesco. Oh, and it was wonderful. And Mum would be pushing it around and she'd be like, oh, you need some of this, you need some of this, and it was glorious. I was so grateful. I was so grateful. Every time they visited, I was so grateful. If someone gave me a tenner, I was over the moon. It was just this huge amount of money that would buy me food for a month. It was fantastic. Some of us relate to this. Yes, periods in our life where we are so grateful for every good gift that we get. And we're opening the door of our tents and we're seeing there's bread for today, there's bread for today. I've got enough bread, it hasn't gone mouldy, it hasn't gone stale, I've got enough bread. And we're grateful. But what's the, we don't, if you've got a job, you've got an income. If you get rich, you start having a paycheck. I'm no longer excited about going around Tesco. I'm no longer excited about God. Do you see what I mean? I lose that sense of gratitude for the basic things in life because I come to expect them. I come to expect them every day. Oh, there'll be food, there'll be bread. I can buy more if there's not. When we move out of the desert, we need to stay grateful. And so this was why they had the Feast of First Fruits. Was because the first bit of stuff that they grew, the first thing that they grew, they would take it to the temple and say, God, we are grateful for this. We are grateful for this. Because we remember what it was like to have nothing and you provided everything for us. And now that we can grow it ourselves, we are still grateful for everything that you give us. Some of us here have a habit of taking the first 10% of the money that we get and we give it back to God. And part of that is an attitude of, everything I've got, God, comes from you. I mean, my brain that helps me earn money, that's from God, isn't it? The body that helps you earn it, that's from God, isn't it? Everything, the breath in your lungs, it's a gift. And so it's good to take the first fruits and take it to the temple and say, God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. I don't want to lose my sense of gratitude. To the person next to you, what are you grateful for this week? It's good to be grateful, isn't it? The first thing, as we learn to produce for ourselves, let's never forget that every good and perfect gift, it comes from God. It comes from God. Let's live a life of gratitude. So that was one thing that the Israelites would bring to the temple. They would bring things a bit like this, and they would wave them. And they would say, oh, bless, because it's the first thing that we've grown. We want to be grateful to God for the stuff that we've grown. Because it's all from him in the first place. And then they brought something else. They would bring, and we heard it from when Margaret read it to us. They would bring lamb, like bits of lamb. And from my understanding, was it kind of left over from the Passover?
Could be.
And then sometimes it was a new lamb.
We weren't supposed to leave anything after the Passover.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
It's a fresh lamb.
So we're bringing lambs to the temple. So you've got two things. You've got this in one hand, and then you've got a lamb in the other hand. You've got that in one hand and the lamb in the other hand. And so this is grateful to God for the things he's given us. And the lamb is to make you acceptable to God when you go up to the temple. Does that make sense? So this is because you're grateful to God, but the lamb makes you acceptable to God because you can sacrifice the lamb. It's a bit like what we did here with the sins on the goat. We can put our sins on the lamb. We are now acceptable to God because we have brought this lamb with us. And now we can enter the temple. So the Israelites would come to the temple and they bring this because they're grateful to God for all the stuff that they brought. And they're bringing this lamb along. And what would they find when they encountered the temple? I mean, to be honest, they'd encounter a lot of barriers. I mean, for those mere mortals who aren't Alan Turner, imagine trying to get close to royalty. Imagine that. Imagine trying to get close to like the Queen or one of the other royals. Philip. The ones, Buckingham Palace. Imagine trying to do that. And as I say, if you're not Alan Turner, I assume you can still just wander straight up and say hello. But for us mere mortals, you get to the first bit and there's a barrier. There are physical barriers stopping us getting to the Queen. You go to London and you know, there's big fences to stop you getting to the Queen. That was similar with the temple. You come to the front bit and there's a big wall. There were gates. There were physical barriers stopping you getting towards God. And maybe you got past the first one. And then there were kind of social barriers stopping you getting to God. There were people on the door who'd look at you and be like, are you allowed in? You know, bouncers. Basically bouncers. And they'd stand there on the steps of the temple, I can imagine, with their like little yellow things around their wristbands here. No trainers. I don't know what they would say. big, intimidating people. And they'd say, you're not allowed to come in here if you're a woman. No. You're in that bit if you're a woman. Oh, blokes only in here. Then there'd be the next barrier and it'd be like, afraid you haven't quite got the education, you haven't got the background, you're not getting it. Not today. Another barrier. So these people are coming to the temple in order to get close to God, and they're grateful to what God has done, but they're bringing the lamb to make them acceptable to God. But every time they get to the temple, there's another barrier. And there are physical barriers, like a big wall, and there are social barriers, like big men saying, you're not allowed in this. Have any of us ever felt like this when we try and get close to God? Was it just me? Times when you feel you want to get close to God and there are physical barriers. There are things that make it difficult, like a busy calendar. I've got loads to do today. I can't fit it in. Sometimes it's a social barrier and you think, I'm not good enough. I'm not the right gender. Not got the right upbringing. I've not got the right education. I can't get close to God. I can't get into the temple. For the people who would celebrate this feast, that was a very real and experienced barrier between them and God. And every time they get there, sorry, not quite good enough. Not quite good enough. Not quite good enough. And I felt like that coming to God sometimes. Not quite good enough. Not quite good enough. And then 2,000 years ago, things changed. Because the people on the Festival of First Fruits were still carrying this to be grateful to God what he provided. And they were still taking their lamb and they were still coming to the temple, but things were different because there wasn't the same barrier anymore. I want to read this to you from Matthew 27. Because 2,000 years ago, there wasn't the same barrier. 2,000 years ago, the Festival of First Fruits got a new name. This is what happened 2,000 years ago from Matthew 27. At the moment when Jesus is on the cross, the temple of the at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. And the bodies of many godly people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tomb after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were with him were guarding saw Jesus and saw the earthquake and saw everything that had happened, they were terrified and said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." 2,000 years ago, the Festival of First Fruits got a new name because we call it Resurrection Sunday. Because 2,000 years ago, what Jesus accomplishes on the cross at Passover has an effect on what happens on the Sunday. There is no longer the barrier between man and God. They go to the temple and there is no longer the massive curtain between the Holy of Holies and the people. They go to the temple and whereas previously there were physical barriers and spiritual barriers and people telling them that they were not good enough, they could go to the temple and they found that there was an open door. And God says, "You're welcome. And you can come in. Because it's Resurrection Sunday. And Jesus is alive." Amen. So this morning we can know that truth. That when we come to God, we don't find a massive curtain. We don't find a physical barrier. We don't find people saying you're not good enough. We find a dad with his arms wide open on the other side of an open door saying you are welcome. You are good enough because of what the cross has accomplished. This is what 1 Corinthians says when Paul is thinking about this. "But Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through one man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through one man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. For each in turn, Christ the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, and after he's destroyed all the dominion, authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." My friends, we are welcome at the temple. There's no longer the curtain. There is no longer the barrier between you and God. You are welcome. And that's what First Fruits is now about. We don't call it First Fruits. Call it Resurrection Sunday. Because Jesus is alive. The curtain has been torn. And you're welcome as you are. You're good enough. Let's pray. Father, this morning we bring to mind the countless blessings that you have given us, and we are grateful. We are grateful for those things in our life. We are grateful for the health that has allowed us to get here this morning. We are grateful for the breath in our lungs. We are grateful for every good and perfect gift, the friends and family around us this morning. God, we are grateful because you are a good God who gives us good gifts. And God, we are grateful because you have made us welcome, that you have allowed us to come near to you, that we can run to you and find you with your arms outstretched, saying you're welcome here and you're good enough. We receive that this morning. We receive your outrageous love. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.